Okay, cool.
Blog Talk Radio.
9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That can only mean one thing. It is time for Dead End Sports. I am your host, 12 Kyle, and this is Dead End Sports. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know what it is. You know we know sports, so we want to thank you once again for tuning in to the show. Tonight, we're going to bring you football, 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 and more football. I am joined by my esteemed co-host. You've heard him on here on Dead End Hip Hop. My boys, fellas, what's going on? Say what's up to BZ and my man Ken. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, man? What's going on? What's happening?
Y'all all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Y'all ready to talk some football, man?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm actually, you know, just watching, you know, everything Sunday. And then last night, of course, I've kind of been ready to talk about this because last week when we with the pilot episode, you know, I only saw like the second half of the games and that night, and then of course Monday Night Football, so I didn't really get a chance to watch like a full day of football. So yesterday was like my first time watching a full day of football. So. I'm really ready to get started tonight, and we'll see where this goes.
What about you, B? How are you feeling about the football season thus far? Where's B? B, are you still there?
I don't know.
I'm still showing his number on here.
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. B, is that you?
Hey, yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, you know what? I had a 404 up. Maybe that's calling somebody listening. Okay, there we go. 770. I got you beat. What's going on, man?
Yo,
you ready to talk some football, man?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk some football. I'm ready to talk some football, some fantasy football, college football. And I don't want to hear nothing from Ken today, which I know I am. he's turned up already just off of. Off of his so-called victory yesterday against me in fantasy football.
We gotta talk fantasy. You guys are playing. You guys, y'all in that fantasy real hard this year, man. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Dead End Sports, man. We're talking football, football, football. Make sure that you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about the most interactive and the best show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure that you also follow the show. The show has its own Twitter page, at Dead End Sports. So without further ado, let's get started on tonight's show. I guess we'll start with the let's start with college football. One of the biggest, actually the biggest game year to date was the showdown in College Station, Texas this past weekend with Alabama going up against Texas A&M, the highly heralded defending Heisman Trophy candidate Johnny Manziel going up against that vaunted Alabama defense, Nick Saban, head coach. Alabama came out on top. But it was, you know, the game wasn't one-sided. It actually, for a second, it looked like the game was going to get out of hand. And Manziel rallied the troops, and they came back. So I'll start with you first, Ken. What did you take away from that game?
I took away what I got from that game was Manziel is probably a little bit better than I thought he was. Because Alabama's defense is for real. We're talking about SEC, and I know that's the conference that they play in, and they need to be able to play with them. But they put up 42 points against Alabama, and there was really nothing that Alabama could do to really stop him other than that 35-0 onslaught that they went on. And if Manziel didn't make those two key errors, I think they would have had a chance to beat Alabama again.
Yep.
And it's just that their defense can't stop us if we were out there playing on the football field, and I think that's their problem. But other than that, man, if it wasn't for Manziel, this thing probably would have been a 49-14 victory for them. But, you know, Alabama whooped their ass just like I thought they would. You know, Manziel was just good enough to make the game appear to be closer than it actually was. But yeah, man, salute to Manziel, man. I didn't think he had that in him.
What about you, B?
Yeah, I agree, because for them to score 21 points in the fourth quarter alone, when I thought the game was pretty much a wrap, says a lot about, you know, Texas A&M offense and Johnny Football. So, you know, people before the season, even before that game, people were just like, oh, yeah, you know, Johnny Football, he's going to get slaughtered by Alabama defense, and, you know, he's not really that good, they're going to be out for revenge. Even I was thinking that last week. I was like, well, you know, Alabama going to be out for blood. This is, you know, they're going to get Johnny Football. But what he showed me was his resilience, man. I was just like, Dude is good, man. Like I said, he's good as advertised. And for them to do that, like Ken said, for them to do that against that Alabama defense, and for them to still score 21 points in the fourth quarter alone, like, I think that was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, I agree, man. I and it's hard for me to root for Alabama, but I didn't like the preferential. I'll be the first to admit, I didn't like the preferential treatment. I felt like the NCAA gave Johnny Manziel with this whole autograph pay, you know, issue or whatever. And so I kind of came into the game hoping that Alabama was going to, you know, take it to him. And I was like, I really don't know if he's – and I remember the game last year, and he went berserk. And, you know, and I just kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, I was hating. Listen, you know, I ain't no need for me to try to dress it up. I was hating, okay? But you know, the more I watched it, I was very impressed. You know, everybody knows, and everybody kept, all the experts kept saying, well, you know, you give Nick Saban 2 weeks to prepare. You know, he's going to have a defense prepared for them. And I mean, just from the onset, Manziel found the mismatches as far as that corner. I can't remember the name of the left corner, and he kept picking on him with that big receiver that they have. And they just kept exploiting that matchup, and I was impressed with his poise in the pocket. You could kind of tell that Alabama was talking trash, but he didn't. You know, other than you know, a little jaw jacking back and forth. You know, really wasn't out of control. You know, he seemed to be poised. He never, even when they got down, you know, and much like B, I mean, I was ready to turn the game off. They were down by 21 points, but you know, something said, okay, well, hang. You know, because in college football, you never know what can happen. I was just impressed that he didn't quit and didn't, you know, and almost rallied the troops to come back, you know, for another victory. So he left me very impressed, despite what I thought about him going into the game. As far as I really didn't like the way in the first game that he kind of brushed off his coach, Kevin Sumlin, you know, when they had a confrontation on the sideline. But he's the real deal. He's as good as advertised, and, you know, I can't hate on him anymore. I just can't. I mean, because he definitely showed up to play.
And yeah, I think that tight end you're talking about was Cameron Clear, that 6'6 dude. Yeah, he was killing Alabama's cornerback. That's what you're talking about, Cameron Clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the other guys, Mike Evans. Mike Evans had a monster game.
Yep, Mike Evans had another monster game. He was killing that Alabama defense, which was like, I was like, damn. So...
I didn't think when Mike Evans caught that ball, when Manziel, because it seemed like Manziel was just like, you know what, fuck it. And he just tossed the ball up there to Mike Evans from the end zone. And Mike Evans snatched that shit down, and then he took off. But it kind of took him a minute to get his wheels going. You know, once he hit the ground, I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to walk him down. But they couldn't catch him. You know, and they always like to do – I don't know, Manziel is funny to me when he plays, but because I don't know how he manages to escape out of all of this shit, man. It just seems unreal. And it seems like every time I watch him play, all I can hear in my head was whoop, 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 whoop. It seems like a cartoon, and then he just throws the ball up, and somehow somebody manages to catch it.
Man, it seemed like he was just closing his eyes and just throwing it up for grabs. I swear, it just seemed like he was just closing it.
Like playing backyard ball.
Backyard football. That's a perfect analogy. Backyard football. That's actually
You're just playing backyard football. I think that was one of the things that kind of stood out to me was just the ability to, and you guys know, I mean, we all play sports, you know, what a coach will say, can you make a play? Can we make a play when we need to make a play? And he made plays. I guess the next question I have for you guys is, and I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but I want to just kind of touch on this because I heard, you know, some of the national media talking about it, so I figured we should touch on it as well. How do you think this will translate for Johnny Manziel on the next level, taking it to the NFL, or do you even see him as a pro prospect? I'll start with you first, B. Do you think Manziel can make it to the NFL? If so, do you think he gets drafted? Do you think he goes free agent route? What do you think his future holds for him?
I think he's going to get drafted, especially I think if he's close to that Heisman race again. That's going to give him enough to get drafted. I think with any college sports, I think, you know, basketball included and football, I think it just depends on the system and the team you go to be successful.
Right.
So some college players we've seen in football and basketball, they do well in college. But when they go to that particular pro team, it might not be that system that fit them, and then they might not blossom right away. So, you know, I think for Johnny Football, it just depends on which team. I can't think of a team off the top of my head where he can go to where I think he'll fit, but he just have to go to that right team that would be like, okay, this is the system that works for you and for him to blossom. Because, I mean, he has an arm. I mean, you know, he has athleticism to excel in the football league, you know, in the NFL. But it's just like you don't know what system he might go to. You know, if he might get jerked around or whatever. You know, a lot of so-called good college football quarterbacks always, it happens to them. So that's what I think.
What about you, Ken?
I don't know. Somebody took a chance because you know what doesn't – okay, so there are a couple of things that help him, and there are some things that hurt him. So one of the things that help him is Russell Wilson because I think he's probably – and Cape as well, and of course, RG3. I think they're kind of prototypes on the type of offense he can run. And I'll credit Skip Bayless. And I heard Skip Bayless say this. He said that a read option offense like Chip Kelly will be kind of ideal for Manziel because they can see him running something like that. But I think what hurts him is kind of like I want to say Tebow in a sense because Tebow kind of even though he's a better thrower than Tebow. But I think there's so much that follows Manziel off the field that it kind of gets in the way of him on the field, and it becomes a distraction for teams. So if teams are willing to take that chance with him, they'll draft him. They'll draft him early. If they're unwilling to take a chance with him and he just so happens to fall to them in the later round, then, of course, you know, he'll enter the league and he'll probably just have to play to make the team or something like that. So, I think somebody will take a chance on him. I don't think you can pass him up.
You know what, man? I've been going back and forth with this one because it kind of goes back to what you just said. I mean, you know, does the Tebow factor help him? Does it hurt him? You know, will he? You know, because he really can't. You know, unlike Tebow, I don't think that he can play another position. And I think, you know, the one thing that I did see on Saturday, his arm is a lot stronger than what I remember last year. I mean, like, he was, even some of the throws that he was making to that big receiver, man, I mean, the fade route was on point. He was hitting guys, you know, coming out of the breaks on the out routes. And so I think, and he's not a big guy to start with. I'm a little leery about quarterbacks running around in the NFL. It's just, you know, even the best of them, you know, the Vicks, the Kaepernicks, the RG3s, the Russell Wilsons, you know, you want to see those guys get yardage, but you also want to see them get down, too, because you don't want them to take any type of extra hits or extra punishment that they don't necessarily have to take. You know, so whether or not it translates to the NFL, to be honest, fellas, I really don't know. I mean, I think – I think he'll definitely get a shot. Now, I heard somebody say, I think it was Mike Greenberg today said on Mike and Mike, he said he thinks he'll go as high as the second round. I don't know about that. I think, you know, he's probably a guy you probably roll the dice on, you know, maybe third or fourth round, maybe fourth or fifth round, you know, where you're not really, you know, putting too much into him or what have you. I just don't know about that, but I could definitely see him, you know, getting a shot, you know, unless he does something to just piss people off.
if he does something
to piss people off, then no. But you know, if he keeps his nose clean and everything like that, I think he'll definitely get a shot at the NFL.
Especially if he kind of get drafted to a team that has like a veteran, crafty quarterback,
right,
like Aaron Rodgers or something, like someone he can kind of glue him under for like maybe 2 years or 3 years, and then, you know. But in today's NFL, heck, they want the right now, so they don't want to. It's like if they draft you, they don't want you to be developed. They want you to come in and win right away. So, you know,
right,
in today's NFL, so it kind of be hard. I want to bring this up because I think I was talking to Ken about this. Oh my god, is Oregon really that good? Like, or are they just playing teams right now? Because they are like, that's a fast team. Like, they scored 50 points in what, three quarters? Like, it just wasn't nothing. Like, and I was like, is Oregon really that good? I was confused. I was just like, what is going on here? This is like, what, the second or third time they didn't kick some ass, like, really quick and easy. I'm wondering, is Oregon really that good? It's advertised.
You know what, man? I think they are, but it's kind of hard to say and think Oregon probably catches a little flack, especially, you know, we have what we call East Coast bias. I mean, to be honest, unless you're an alum of the Pac-10 or you're from the West Coast or something like that, I mean, outside of USC, how much Pac-10 football are we really watching? You know, I mean, if it's on, I'll watch it, but I'm not, you know, it's not something that I seek out each week. But I like watching Oregon. I like the uniforms, you know.
When I watch Oregon, it's for the uniforms. I'm like, well, let me check
exactly
them out. But then
exactly.
When I see them,
you know,
just rack up points like a video game, I was like,
I think they're as good as advertised, man. It's going to be hard for them because I think, you know, Oregon has purposely not, you know, kind of drawn a, you know, unlike the ACC, those Pac-10 schools, they don't want to play SEC schools during the season, even in the beginning of the season, because, you know, it'll affect their ranking and everything like that. But I think if they take a page out of the ACC's book and go ahead and get some of those games in, I think it becomes a little bit easier for them, because if you don't see that kind of, and we all know, you see that kind of speed and quickness and strength that you see in the SEC, and you don't see it until your bowl game, well, by then it's probably too late. To answer your question, man, I think they're as good as advertised. I think they're the real deal. I think right now I think they're ranked number two. I really don't see them getting. I think, you know, UCLA is going to give them a run. USC,
Stanford,
we'll hang it
Stanford
up for a while.
But
I think they're as good as advertised. What do you think about them, Ken?
I think we are seeing the same Oregon team we've seen in the last few years. I mean, they always beat the shit out of people, and then as the season go on, they'll have the one or two loss, the one loss that prevent them from going to the national championship, other than the one time they did go and ended up ultimately losing that game. But I don't know, man. I don't buy into Oregon because they're all about points and point production. I never really see a defense with them. And unless you can stop somebody or unless you can run with the SEC, I just don't know if I'll buy into you. Granted, they beat
Tennessee.
Yeah, they beat Tennessee, which is an SEC team. But, I mean, you know, I'm not completely sold on them because Tennessee, they haven't really played anybody. And then the first team they played the second ranked team in college football, and they got their ass smacked. So I don't know, man. I'll see how they perform against UCLA, Washington, Stanford, some of these other tougher opponents as their schedule progresses.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. You know, they're gonna have to show and prove, and they know that. And I think that's been the knock on them. And until they, you know, get over the proverbial hump and do something in a bowl game, you know, that's going to be the case. Because let's just say that they run the table and Alabama runs the table and they meet in the national championship game, then, you know, I don't think Oregon can, as much as they score and everything like that, I just don't know that they can beat a team like Alabama. You know, could they beat, you know, one of the kind of middle ground SEC teams or one of the lesser known ACC teams, of course. But as far as running neck and neck with the big dogs, I don't know. I just, you know, Pac-10 football is just, and I try not to have that Pac-10 bias, that West Coast bias, but you
it's
know,
hard.
It's just,
it's hard.
Yeah, they just got to show me something. You're listening to Dead End Sports. I am your host, Dwarf Kyle. We got my man Beezy and my man Ken on the line with. We ask you not just listen to the show, be a part of the show, participate in tonight's discussion. We're posting their questions on Facebook as well as Twitter. Retweet them. Make sure that you follow the show at Dead End Sports. Let's talk about some of the other best and worst things of the week. One of the worst things I saw as far as, and I'm going to stay with college football, Bo Pelini, the head coach at Nebraska, he has come under fire. He just recently, there was some information, there was an interview that he said, it was some things that he said off the record, and this was something that was said, I think, 2 years ago. Well, he said it off the record, and he didn't know it was being recorded. And somehow, and Bo Pelini is under a lot of hot water right now in Nebraska. The team isn't as successful as they had been in the past. And so this interview mysteriously leaks.
Yes.
So
like
in other words,
like
somebody's out there dry snitching.
Right, like a secret recording.
Yeah, it was almost like that Mitt Romney 47% comment. Just came out of nowhere. So my question to you guys, and you guys know that we all are about the same age, so we know about the – and Nebraska's not nearly where they used to be as far as their, where they are in, as far as the national picture. Do you think with this latest scandal of you know, bad press and bad ink and just having a kind of rough season already, do you think Bo Pelini can survive? I'll start with you, B.
I mean, it's all about winning, man. Winning will forget everything. Winning will soothe everything. If he can bounce back and they can turn around and just be like a, and probably clear out and win the rest of their games and everything, or have a shot to win at a bowl, I mean, I can see this getting swept under the rug. But say he loses about maybe five, six, seven in a row or something like that. Oh, yeah, they'd be going up his head. I'm telling you, because winning soothes everything. Winning, you will forget everything if you're winning. And then you're bringing money into the university. That's what I think. That's what I've always seen witness happen most of the time. It's like, if you're winning, hey, okay, well, you know, he made a mistake. You know, let them start losing some games. Oh, yeah, they're going to be going at his head. They're going to be coming at him. They're going to be coming at him quick. It depends on if he's winning
about
or not.
You,
that's all that is.
Well, he can't allow his teams to give up, 31 points in the second half of a game anymore this year, like he did against UCLA, which, keep in mind, they are the 16th ranked team in college football, and Nebraska's not ranked. And granted, they were up big on that team, but it just took UCLA away to, you know, some time to get going. And once they got going, that was it. And
right.
Let's just face it, Nebraska was just overmatched. You know, they played Southern Miss and some other squad, and they won those games. But, you know, UCLA is different. They're in a different class.
Mm-hmm.
Can he keep his job after this? Obviously, whoever leaked that tape had one purpose, and that was to get rid of the guy because they don't like what has taken place in Nebraska up to this point. I think they'll deal with this from a PR perspective for now and do and say all of the things that they need to say. But it goes back to what B was just saying. He has to win.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't win, and if he doesn't improve upon the 9 wins that he's averaged so far this year, well, since he's been there, yeah, he's going to go, man, because other people will call for his head. Because now all of a sudden, here's what happened when that tape leaked. Now you know what he really thinks about you. So now
right.
all of a sudden you're looking at this guy, you're like, okay, so this is what you're saying when I'm not around. You
right.
know, you say everything that I want to hear that I need to hear in my face, which is great, but I know how you really feel about me. And when you know how a person really feels about you, you don't look at them the same, and you don't treat them
right.
the same, and you don't, you know what I'm saying? So I think if he continues to lose, if he loses any more games, he'll probably be out because you can't trust him. He talks shit about you behind your back. You don't want that.
Hey, you hit the nail on the head, man. You hit the nail on the head, and I think it goes back to what you said and what B said. It winning solves everything, and I think I saw that he made a comment that the legendary quarterback Tommy Frazier from the early 90s fame, national championship winner, Tommy Frazier said something about, he felt like there should be a change on defense, and basically said, okay, he should get rid of his coordinators or what have you. And Bo Pelini's response was, well, if he feels that way, we don't need him. And I mean, you gotta be careful when you're, lashing out against, your former players and everything, because they are the backbone in which the program was built. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And like you said, Ken, now I just find it interesting that this tape just randomly pops up, now that he's in hot water. So we'll definitely see how it plays out. Right now we're talking about the best and the worst of this past week. You guys got anything that you saw that you want to add to the conversation?
For like best and worst, I get to the worst later. But one of the best, I guess you can say, was that UCLA comeback.
Right.
They just ran a table against, we just got to be touching that. How they just ran a table and scored those many consecutive points, and just to come back against UCLA. When I saw some of that game when I was coming back from playing ball, I caught like the second quarter and the rest and beyond, and I was like, oh, Nebraska about to pull this out. And so, I'm like, okay, touchdown, UCLA. Oh, touchdown, UCLA. Oh, wait a minute, it's tie game. Oh, wait, they up by two touchdowns. Like, dang. So it was just kind of like I'm thinking the game was over to where, wait a minute, UCLA freaking won this game. So I think that comeback win is one of the highlights I can think of. And then another one, Aaron Rodgers, he had an out-of-body experience Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Balled out. Yeah, he like, balled out crazy. With four touchdowns, over 400 and, 20-something yards, and no interceptions, and you got a W. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is definitely, I consider him one of the elite quarterbacks in the league anyway. So, he did his thing.
What about you, Ken?
You know what? My worst of the week has to go to Carolina. And
okay.
I am a big time Cam Newton fan. I rooted for Cam when he was in Auburn. I thought the guy was just fantastic, and I love what he did. Because when he came to the NFL, he proved that it wasn't just against, college players. He proved that he could play in this league. And but these last 2 years just haven't really gone his way, and he's been the direct cause of some of those. Especially last year, I think he had a fumble, that ultimately cost him the game against, I think it was Atlanta he was playing, and he just can't seem to make those fourth quarter plays that he needs to make as a playmaker and a leader of that team. I know you look at the coaching, and I think there was a fourth and one or something like that, and the coach opted to kick the field goal, and, they lost because he didn't go for it and try to seal the deal or whatever.
Right.
But which was a bad coaching decision. But at the same time, that defense, you're basically saying, look, we're gonna spot you six. We just need you to not allow a touchdown, and then they go make a silly-ass penalty.
Mm-hmm.
To ultimately cause the game, and then you blow the coverage in the end zone.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, he was just standing there having a cup of coffee, just chilling, waiting for the ball to come.
Wide open.
Wow.
Yeah, come on. No, Carolina, worst of this week. Worst, clearly.
Man,
you just
damn.
Nah. You
Ken,
that cannot happen.
Ken, you sound like you had money on that game, man.
But you know what, man? It's just, I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, you guys just can't get it right. It's like when it's going against you, it really is. Like, and it's unfortunate because I like Cam Newton, but that organization is just, it has a dark cloud over it for whatever reason. Because you got this quarterback, he can scramble, he can throw the ball. But you're not putting talent around him. You are wasting some of his better years. It's hard to win when you only have a 30-something-year-old Steve Smith running around thinking he's 20-something.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? He has no talent. D'Angelo Williams, we all, what is he doing now? Nothing.
When he's healthy, he's good.
Yeah, whenever he's healthy. Is. You know what I'm saying? So you have no running back. The draft has taken place the last 2 years. I don't see any of the draft picks, you know, contributing to the team at all.
Nope.
So, yeah, that whole organization, it's not just Cam, because Cam is there, but you're not giving him anybody that can help him win. And you're not giving the coach, clearly, anybody on defense or offense that can help him with this job. So, Carolina, worst of the week.
And the buzzer's already circling it. They're calling for Ron Rivera's head. So, you know, and it doesn't get any easier with the 0-2 Giants coming into Charlotte this weekend. So, you know, somebody, yeah. They're 0-2, the Giants 0-2, you know, you're talking about two desperate teams this weekend. So somebody's going to be leaving Panther Stadium Sunday afternoon 0-3. And, you know, if it's Ron Rivera, I think Tom Coughlin has, you know, earned a little bit of, you know, leeway with the Giants organization. Ron Rivera hasn't. So, you know, it could be time for a coaching change or to the point where players start to tune him out if they haven't already. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You are listening to Dead End Sports. Right now we're going to jump into the fantasy football recap.
Well, hey, Kyle, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let me give a shout out to my best performance of this week, besides myself. Seattle. Seattle just beat the shit out of San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no question.
And I didn't see that shit coming at all. Now, Richard Sherman's an asshole. I think we all know that by now. But when you step on the field and you back it up with your play, and the way he shut down Bolden, thankfully, you know, he's one of my favorite players of last week, because thanks to him, I whooped BS last week in
fantasy
football. You know, so shout out to Seattle for adding on to my worst of the list, which includes San Francisco, which includes Colin Gore, whatever his name, Kaepernick, Bolden, Gore. Throw his ass in there too, 9 for 15 goddamn yards. But, Richard Sherman, man. Shout out to Richard Sherman, because he shut Bolden ass down.
Now, technically, Ken only beat me by 3 points in the Dead End Hip Hop League. He didn't beat my ass. He's just happy because he was on a roll, and he just so happened to beat me. And he beat another rival in another fantasy league that we played against. that he played against that he can't stand, but he always talks shit, but he always loses, and Ken's so happy to beat him. So Ken just turned up, man. He just turned up right now.
Just a little bit, because you know what, Kyle, I won't lie. I thought that I was going to wake up today and look at a bunch of 0-2 teams, and That wasn't going to sit well with me, especially after Kellen Winslow went out there and just did absolutely nothing thanks to Geno Smith on Thursday. Yeah, but Jared Cook, who I was playing against Trap Stars, didn't do shit either, and neither did his whole squad. And the guy was talking so much shit, and I beat the shit out of him. And I feel good about that. I sure did. I told you I was going to whoop his ass, B. I just wanted to beat your ass, but I wanted to whoop his ass.
Man, what saved Ken beat me by 3 points. What saved him was Jimmy Graham went crazy for him, man. Jimmy Graham went nuts for him. That's what saved Ken. And what messed me up was I had Cook playing, and Cook didn't. He only gave me 1 point. Aaron Rodgers did his business. He did his due. But Trent Richardson, he been playing kind of a little bit below average, man. It's like, come on, Trent, you a first round draft pick, and you kind of playing below the. I mean, he's doing all right, but he's not giving me 14, 15 points that I want him to give me, and he's giving me 7 and 8 points, man. I don't want you to give me that. and Ken had, I think somebody else, Foster had a decent day for him, and Griffin ended up giving him 31 points, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm about to beat Ken, because Griffin started out having a horrible game, and then
RG3 started off really
slow. He ended up with 31 points. I was pissed. I'm like, man, them 3 points right there, that's what did it, because Aaron Rodgers gave me 46 points. He balled for me.
Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. As regards to fantasy football and how you watch football, because fantasy football has changed the way, I mean, let's just keep it real. Fantasy football has changed the way that we all watch football. If you listen to the first show, you guys know I'm not playing this year. So that's one less gray hair for me. But B is a Detroit Lions fan and Ken is a Raiders fan. Excuse me. So my question to you is, do you find that it makes your Sundays, you know, do you find yourself being more concerned with your team being successful, meaning the respective Lions and the Raiders, or you're more concerned about your fantasy team winning?
Fantasy team winning. I mean, I love, don't get me wrong now, I love the Lions, but, you know, when you got money on the line and stuff like that, you know, the money come first. Lions not paying me. So, you know, I'm going to root for y'all and still root for y'all to the day I die, but... When I'm going up against homies that I got to talk to on a regular basis, and I got to see faces and talk to at work, or talk to, you know, outside of work, and talk to my boys in Detroit and stuff. Oh no, I want to win fantasy football. If I'm going against somebody against Calvin Johnson, I'm like, well, I hope Calvin Johnson kind of have a sucky day today, because I'm going against you in fantasy football. You know what I'm saying? So I'm being honest. I mean, I got to go for my fantasy squad, because certain, you know, it's just like, that's why I'm putting my money in my time and effort in being a good GM in, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I got to go with that. The kid feel me, you know what I'm saying? I got to go with that.
What about you,
kid? It's one of the reasons why I'm ready to retire. Because
I'm ready, 2 weeks in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's like they put up that ticker at the bottom of the fucking screen, and all you do, at least I do, is I'm sitting here watching this thing like I'm watching a tennis match, just like I'm eating fucking corn, sitting here watching this damn game, watching that ticker go from side to side, from, you know, left to right. I mean, from right to left, and the shit annoys the fuck out of me because I can't even watch the fucking game because they put up all these damn scores and stats.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, fuck this ticker, man. Get this shit off. Like, you know what I might do? I might just put up some damn electric tape at the bottom of my screen so I don't have to look at that shit.
Don't look at it. Just look at your phone.
I can't. It's white. It's in white. The shit's right there in my goddamn face all the time.
It's pretty much unavoidable at this point now.
Man. It's not that bad, Ken. It's not that bad. I'm looking at the game, man. You know, I'm looking at my phone or my iPad every now and then, checking that, you know, on the app, on the Yahoo and the ESPN app, looking at my squad. But that's about it. I mean, the ticker can say whatever, but I want to look at these numbers and see what total points my team is doing.
See, I don't look at like live scoring. I don't look at anything until Tuesday. I mean, I'll look at the.
No, you good. Oh, you a lot better than me.
Yeah, you
man,
a lot better than me, man.
Yeah, you a lot better than
I would
me.
I would never check it like during the game, but like as soon as the first set of games are finished, I'm checking it.
I'm trying
to see where I am.
Yep, because if the majority of my team is playing at 1 o'clock, I guarantee you by like 3 o'clock, I'm checking the scores and seeing what they're doing.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, let me go look. Let me see. Because if someone doing bad, I'm going to be ready to throw this damn phone or throw this iPad somewhere. So I'm going to be mad.
Nah, sit it and forget it, man. I don't have time. I just like to wake up and surprise me. Start my Tuesday off right. Because when
Are
I looked
serious?
Up there and I saw that I won and I beat B. Because here's the thing, B. If I would have looked at the score, like, say, for instance, Monday, and I saw that I was leading you by however many points I was, I would not have been able to really watch that game. So not knowing what's happened and in my mind thinking, well, you know, I probably just didn't win this one. You know, I'm okay with that, and I can sit and watch the game. But knowing that if Antonio Brown catches a touchdown,
it would have been a wrap.
That's the game for me. I don't think I could have watched that game the way I did last night.
All I needed for him to just score a touchdown, I would have won this. He only gave me like freaking 60 yards, man. I was like, come on. catch a freaking touchdown. It's a wrap if he catch a touchdown. But no, he didn't catch no touchdown.
Yeah,
oh,
I had him last year.
I was like,
Ken,
better not text me. I thought you was going to text me that night after the game. I said, he better not hit me up at this damn game. Oh, I thought you was going to hit me up at the game. I was going to be like, you Ken.
You are listening to Dead End Sports. I am your host, 12 Kyle. Got my man BZ and my man Ken on the line. We're talking football. Make sure that you tell a friend about the show, Dead End Sports, at blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com / Dead End Sports. You can also check out the follow us on Twitter at Dead End Sports on Twitter as well. let's see. Now let's. We normally bring, and you guys, I meant to tell you guys earlier, my man FIFO, he's usually on here with us tonight. He couldn't make it tonight. This is usually the part of the show where we go into FIFO's film study. Since FIFO is not here to do the film study, I will do FIFO's film study for him. One thing I saw on film, big topic of discussion, and it's always been a topic of discussion, and it probably is going to be a topic of discussion going forward, is the legal and illegal hits that we're seeing in the NFL. Tampa Bay Buccaneers safety Vernon Golston has been suspended for one game going forward this weekend. Suspended one paycheck. He will be out this week as Tampa Bay lines up. He will not be playing with them. I think there was a play in the Green Bay game where Redskins safety Brandon Merriweather, he hit Eddie Lacy from Alabama, gave him a concussion. And then, like, maybe a quarter later, Merriweather knocked himself out of the game. He was fine, but not suspended. So what I'm seeing on film is I'm seeing guys still, you know, they only have a split second to make the determination where they're going to strike. At this point, I really don't – I know what the NFL is trying to do, but, you know, you have a split second to make a determination whether or not you're going to hit a guy high or hit him low. Most guys would prefer that you hit them high, you know, because if you hit a guy high and you knock him out, concussion, he's out for 2 weeks. If you hit him low, you hit his tear his knee up, he's out for the season. But I think what you're going to start seeing is defensive players going low because they don't want to get fined and they don't want to get disciplined by Roger Goodell. So that's what I'm seeing on film for FIFO's film study. Now let's take it over to my man Beezy, favorite part of this segment of the show. Segment that we call What Up Though. So Beezy, tell them What Up Though.
What up though, man? I got a lot of players and fantasy dudes that tick me off in my latest What Up Though, and mostly San Francisco is in my What Up Though. So first player I'm gonna shout out for my What Up Though, where you at, is Ray Rice. You know, Ray Rice being one of the premier, you know, draft picks in the first round, and he's giving you 36 rushing yards, which equals to like about 3.3 points in the fantasy league if you're playing. That's, you don't want that from your first round, you know, first running back you draft in the first round. Next one is Mac Jones-Drew, and I'm pissed because he's on one of my fantasy league teams, and he gave me like freaking 2.6 points. And I'm like, and he's healthy. So I guess that was a boo-boo on my mistake, picking someone that has no quarterback and has no type of good coaching structure, and the team that has turned their back on Tebow. They might want to get Tebow because they're sucking right now. another person is, he's on my fantasy squad too, Kaepernick, man. Only 127 yards, 3 INTs, and 2 fumbles. What up, though? Like, what's up with that? Like, what's going on? Like, come on, Kaepernick. You had damn near out-of-body experience for me last week, and then you're going to pull off this. But then I should have benched him because he normally have bad games against Seattle Seahawks. So I think they is kryptonite or something. I don't know. Another person that was on my fan squad, Anquan Boldin. Where the hell? What up, though? Like, 7 reception yards? That's all you got? Like Ken said, he got shut the fuck down, and he really did. Another one, I'm sorry, if you're a 49ers fan, you don't want to hear my what up, though, because Frank Gore, where was you at? That's another one that was going, you know, second, early second, late second round in fantasy squads, and you only get rushed for 16 yards? Like, what's up with that? And Geno Smith, 3 INTs. 3 INTs, no touchdowns, and you got the L. He probably wouldn't have been on my what up, though, if he would have got the W, but the fact he got the L and he threw 3 INTs, that's bad, very bad. Another one, he's on my fantasy squad, too, DeMarco Murray, 25 rushing yards. What up, though? 2.5 fantasy points? Come on. Like, what's going on with that? Another person that, he's not an elite receiver, but he's a pretty good receiver, which is Mike Williams. Mike Williams of Tampa Bay only had 9 reception yards. What up, though? And he had a pretty good week last week. got to give me better results than that. I got to give another one. Eli Manning, that he gets a super what up, though.
Oh,
dude, for
yeah.
four INTs. And a couple of them were, like, stupid INTs, too. It was like, dude, what were you throwing the ball at? So, and he got the L against his bigger brother, Peyton Manning. So, what up, though, Eli Manning? Another super what up, though, goes to the New York Giants total rushing offense, 23 yards. What up, though, with that? I mean, you got Brandon. You brought back Brandon Jacobs. David Wilson, he's just not living up to the bill. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. Another what up, though. I'm sorry if people's not on here, but I gotta put him on blast, man. His fantasy squad only put up 62.18 points. FIFO Goon. It was like, come on, FIFO Goons. If you're the goons, I hope I'm playing him next week. And I gotta, you know what? Hey, look, I'm an equal opportunity, so I'm gonna have to give a what up though to my fantasy squad because I'm in five leagues. I did not get one win in none of my leagues.
Wow.
So week two has not been good for me at all. So I gotta give a what up though to Beezy squads. You know, my squads were terrible in week two. You know, and then another one. There's another guy that goes very high on fantasy draft. AJ Green, only 4.7 fantasy points. Picking AJ Green in the first. Late first, early second round. You don't want AJ Green to be giving you 4.7 points a week. Another one. Two more people. Ridley, 4.1 fantasy points. I was expecting him to have a lot more points with rain out, but I guess he just didn't live up to the bill on that one. For that one, he cost me a loss in DeMarcus Thomas. And he gave me 5 points fantasy points, so I don't know what's going on. We need to step up. We need to look better. Detroit, what up, though, to my Lions? We got the L against Arizona when we had that game, so... That's my business. What up, though?
Oh, man. Perfect. Hey, man,
wow.
That's like my favorite segment of the show, BZ's What Up, Though. Hey, if you're on the list, hey, you already know what time it is. What up, though? Make sure you're not on the list next week. You're listening to Dead End Sports. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Right now, let's take it over my man, Ken. We're going to talk about Ken's field vision. Ken, what's up with the field vision?
Man, I know we are in a different day and age now, but I gotta say, man, the NFL's lack of running the ball these first two games is one of the things that I'm seeing
yeah.
the most. You know, and it should be like if you look at the yardage, you only have three players that's averaging over 100 yards a game. One of them is on injured reserve, and that's Shane Vereen. And, yeah, so you got LeSean McCoy, who's averaging 118, and you got Doug Martin, who's putting up 104. You know, and these carry, these yardage per game is correlated to the amount of attempts they get. Doug Martin is averaging about 25 a game. Everybody else is at 20 or below, and that's just not enough. So for me is, do the teams just really, really – Do they just don't want to run the football anymore, or are the running backs really that bad in the NFL? And I haven't really quite figured that out yet. But yeah, it's just something that I keep noticing. Like DeMarco Murray, 25
Murray,
yards.
Right.
Yeah, David Wilson, 17 yards. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of putrid performances. You know, last week, running backs just not eclipsing 100 yards for whatever reason. And I don't know, man. I mean, do we just not have any elite running backs in the NFL anymore? Adrian Peterson sure isn't running over anybody this year. He got
I think it's just a passing league, Ken. I think that's just where, I mean, you look at the numbers, like Beasley mentioned earlier, with the A-Rod, I was about to say Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers put up. Look at even Vic had career numbers on Sunday, even on a loss. And, I mean, both guys going over 400 yards. Peyton threw for over 400 yards. And that seems to be almost like a weekly occurrence. Eli threw for 3 and some change, I think. So, I mean, it's really, really – I mean, like, I was even watching the Falcons game and watching Matthew Edward Ryan throw for – he threw for, like, 380-something, and it didn't even really seem like he did, but he did, you know. It's just a passing league, man. I mean, running backs are just – you know, they – and we tweeted out the question earlier about elite running backs. I mean, there's a few, but the league is just really, really gone more towards passing. And I really don't know why, but that's just the way that it is.
You know, Terrell Pryor should not be the seventh-ranked rusher in the NFL. I'm sorry. You know who's below him? Alfred Morris, C.J.
Wow.
Spiller, Marshawn Lynch, Matt Forte, Arian Foster, Jamal Charles. These are elite running backs that are below Terrell Pryor, a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick is 20th in the league. Below him, Trent Richardson, B.
Wow.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who made his career in New England, who can't run for shit now. But Fred Jackson, who's splitting time. But Stephen Ridley, he has 86 yards on the season. Alex Smith has 4 less yards than him. And he's another
Alex
quarterback.
Smith actually led the game between the Chiefs and the Cowboys this past Sunday. Alex Smith was the leading rusher for both teams.
Right.
That's with Jamal Charles and DeMarco Murray on the same field.
Exactly. So you have these and Jamal Charles is a stud. You can't
right.
give him the ball. He deserves it. You
yeah,
know, they
does.
Need 20 touches. And so, yeah, man, I just noticed that. I thought the first year was just a fluke. I mean, the first week was a fluke, but then the second week, I'm like, you can't trust your running backs anymore. You know, and it's just one of those things. The other thing that I noticed this week was just the lack of teams' ability to finish games. There were, what, 2-3 game winners at the last second last week. Chicago pulled it out for the second week in a row. Houston did the same thing where they almost gave up that game, had to come back and win.
Right.
But it seems
yeah.
like teams just don't have that one player on defense that can get that stop like a Ray Lewis. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Or what's that guy from Urlacher, somebody like that,
yeah.
that'll just go out there and just make a play. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. So those are the things that I kind of picked up on this weekend. No running in the NFL, and just some lack of playmakers on defense.
Okay.
Those
okay. Well, we got it. We got about 20. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Let's go to our power rankings. let's see. I will start. B, did you do your power rankings for this week?
Yeah. I didn't send an email.
Since to save time, give me your top 10.
Top 10. I got Seahawks at 1. I got Broncos at 2. I got 49ers down to 3. I think I had them at 1 before. I got Packers in there. I have the Bears at 5. I'm telling you, man, sleeping on the Bears. I got Bears
okay.
at 5. I got the Texans. I got Texans at 6, Falcons at 7, Bengals at 8, and I got the Saints at 9. And my surprise number 10 right now is the Dolphins.
Wow. Wow. That's kind of high. Okay.
Dolphins going on, man. Look, Dolphins
hey,
going
hey,
on,
that
man.
Is
like,
they're FIFO's Philadelphia Eagles, I guess.
Well, okay, B, who's 11?
Who's 11? I got Lions at 11.
Yeah, I guess you could put the Dolphins.
See?
Lions whack ass losing games. Another team
I have. There really wasn't a lot of changes. My biggest change obviously was at the top. I got the Seahawks at 1, the Broncos at 2, followed by the Niners at 3, Patriots and Falcons at 4 and 5, Texans at 6, Packers 7, Bengals. Saints are 8 at 9, and number 10 running out the top 10 is Chicago Bears. So really not a lot of changes. Like I said, the 49ers went from 1 to 3. I had to jump Seahawks with the big win over the 49ers convincingly. I had to jump them over the Broncos. What about you, Ken? What about your power ranking?
Seahawks come in at they take the top spot without a doubt. Of course, Peyton Manning rolled again, so they're second. 49ers third. 4, I'll stick with the Saints. They managed to win again. So they don't look the same, but I think they'll get it going. 4, shit. I can't deny what the Packers did. I don't know if
okay.
I'm ready to sell out on them that high just yet. But I'll give them their props. I think the Texans showed a lot. With their ability to come back, so I go Packers 4, I go Texans 5, Falcons. I'll have them 6 because they managed to get back on the board again. You know what? I'm gonna put the Chiefs up, but I think they'll be.
Oh my gosh, you in the top 10?
Shit. Nah, I'm not. Wait. I don't know if I'm sold on the Chiefs just
yet. They 2-0 to go quiet as kept.
Yeah, but you know, have they really beaten anybody, you know, besides the Cowboys? I mean, they beat my Cowboys. That's why I got to put them up, you know, a little bit higher. So I'll go with I like the Bengals. Where am I at? 7 or 8? Bengals 7.
Yeah.
Bengals 7. Let's do... Shit. Bengals 7. Damn. Chiefs 8.
You go ahead and put Dolphins in there, man. Let's go ahead and say the Dolphins.
Patriots 9. And I'll go ahead and stick the Cowboys at 10. I'm not going to drop them just yet.
Wow. You're listening to Dead End Sports. I think we got to try to spend more time with this because these lists are getting more and more outrageous as the weeks go by. Oh,
yeah,
man, this is funny. Now, you're listening to Dead End Sports. I am your host, 12 Kyle, and I got my man Beezy and my man Ken on the line. We're talking sports. We're talking football. Please tell a friend to tell a friend about the show. Make sure that you follow the show. Also, follow the page on coming to blogtalkradio.com/Dead End Sports. Follow the show. Get show updates. We do this show each and every Tuesday night, so make sure that you check that out. We're going to be featured on Stitcher as well as iTunes, as well as any and everyone, Spreaker, every place where you can find us. So make sure that you do that as well. Now let's go to the goal line. We're going to go to our closing statements. Ken, I'll start with you. Let's go ahead and jump into the closing statement.
RG3, man, I hope the brother's well. I'm watching him closely. I can't wait to see what happens with him next week. Because, you know, they just look terrible. And RG3 is partly to blame with that. So I'm watching him, man. I think they'll turn it around, and I think they'll get better as the season progresses.
Okay, what about you, B?
Injuries, man. I mean, I know football is a very brutal sport, but it just seems like I think Falcons just lost one of their top linebackers.
Yeah.
He's out for like about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep.
You know, Steven Jackson and Reggie Bush left games early because of injuries, and you know, of course, we know about Patriots' injury situation, and this is like, dude, like what is going on? Is like everybody fragile, or just all these linebackers are just tougher and stronger and faster and just knocking fools out? Because it's like. Every week he turns, you know, it's like a major injury now. Someone is getting carted off or wheeled off or something. It's like injuries. What's going on? I mean, is this equipment not safe? Roger Goodell, what the hell are you doing? You know, I don't know. It's just like injuries, just like I'm noticing now with this year. And I know there's been injuries previous years in the NFL, but this year so far it just seems like, man, every time you turn around, someone just getting carted off and injured, going away. So... I want to see if RG3 going to hold up with that knee. Is Vic going to be next? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just interesting. I'm just interested to see how these injuries are going to play out through the rest of the NFL season. And we only in week 2. You know what I'm saying? So are the guys not training hard enough in preseason or something? I don't know. It's just that's crazy. That's my closing statement.
Definitely. And I'll end it off with this. I think two things. I think you know, like B said, injuries are part of the game, and you hate to see guys get hurt. But one thing I want to make sure, I want to send a message out to the NFL Commissioner, Roger Goodell. This year the Super Bowl is outside. It's going to be in Giants MetLife Stadium in New York City, East Rutherford, New Jersey. If you believe in the Farmer's Almanac, they are calling for a blizzard. Not a fan of that. I'm sorry, I'm just not a fan of it. I'm all for playing outside, Roger Goodell. I understand that you had to throw New York a bone, but hey, man, let's bring the Super Bowls back to the warm weather places. Let's bring them back to the domes. Let's bring it back to Florida. Let's bring it back to California, man. We don't need it outside anymore. Let this be the one and only time. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to play out. I hope
that we don't get a blizzard for the Super Bowl, but if you schedule a game in February in New York City, just expect the unexpected. That's it for this week, folks. Once again, want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every Tuesday night. Make sure that you come back next week. Once again, I'm your host, 12 Kyle. This is Dead End Sports. My man BZ and my man Ken. FIFO will be back next week. We'll be talking football, and more football. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter @DeadEndSports. Once again, that's it for this week. We'll holler at you next week. Peace.